Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Wish everyone a happy Sunday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, that where he is, we may be also. And so we thank God today that we're able to get together one more time. And we haven't come for any fashion, form, or show, but we've come simply to lift up the name of Jesus. And it is he who declared, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, that he would draw all men unto himself. And so that's what we've come to do today. We've come to lift him up. We've come to magnify him. We've come to glorify his holy name, because truly the Lord is good and greatly to be praised. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know, amen, the name of Jesus. Amen. A songwriter said, it is the sweetest name I know. Come on now. We thank God. Amen. There's something about the name Jesus. Amen. Amen. We want to give God the praise today because he allowed his son. The record declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we praise God today, amen, for looking past our faults and seeing our needs, because the record also declares that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, amen. But aren't you glad today that this, the wages of sin is death? Even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's good news this morning. That's good news for every day of your life. Amen. And we thank God, amen, for the good news on today. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Reverend Sykes, amen, to lead us in prayer this morning. Good morning, Reverend Sykes. Reverend Sykes on the line with
us. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Amen. Let us pray. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. Father God, we come this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we come with praise on our lips this morning. We thank you for being the creator and the sustainer of life. Lord, we thank you for waking us up, closing our right minds with the use and the activities of our limbs. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, for your provision, for your loving kindness and your faithfulness to us. We invite the presence of your Holy Spirit in this worship service on this morning. You are worthy to be praised this morning, Father. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for what you have done and what you're doing and what you're going to do in all of our lives. Thank you, Father God, for those that are listening by way of Facebook, internet, and phone, or any other avenues of communication this morning. We love and adore you. And Father, we ask that you will continue to allow us to be beacons of light that gives hope when others feel that there is no hope. Thank you for being a prayer answering God. We pray for healing of the mind, body, soul, spirit, and hearts of your people this morning. We pray for mankind everywhere this morning. We pray for all families that have been affected by the crime in every city and in every state. We pray for all of our communities and all of our families that are near and far. And we pray also, Father, for our pastor this morning, Pastor Kayson, and our First Lady Kayson this morning, and all the pastors and all your servant leaders and all of your churches this morning, Father. And, Father, we need you because the challenges that we encounter in our lives, sometimes, God, it leaves us feeling physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually drained. So, Father God, we come this morning as empty vessels needing to be filled. Refill us, Lord, with your strength, with your peace, with your love, with your joy, and with your compassion. Father, stir up the gifts that you have entrusted us with. Continue to give us clarity of mind. Help us to see with fresh eyes your goodness of this day. And Father, we give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise on this morning, oh God. Father, give us the spiritual fortitude to be able to stand strong in you, Father God. And Father, help us to continue to put on the whole armor of God daily to sustain us, Father. Thank you for your word that is truth, your word is power, your word is strength, and your word transforms our lives daily. Father, you do all things well. And so we thank you for being an omnipresent God. We thank you for being an all-wise and all-knowing God. We thank you for being an all-powerful and sovereign God. And so, Father, we come this morning, Father God, acknowledging, Father, that we have sinned and we have fallen short. And so, Father, we ask for forgiveness of any sins, Father, that we have committed in word, deed, thought, action, or reaction, and that you would create within us clean hearts and renew the right spirit within us. Father, we magnify your name and we glorify your name on this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we will and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy and righteous name. You have done great and marvelous things in all of our lives, and we are forever grateful. O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And we ask all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen, amen, and thank God. Amen. Thank God for prayer. Thank Reverend Sykes for that fervent prayer. Amen. We want to sing a song this morning, a song that every time we would go, and the Lord would lead us to minister at the various nursing homes that we would visit, amen, during, before the time of COVID, amen, and we would go in and we would be blessed to be able to fellowship with those that were in the various facilities, amen, and we would start off with devotion and prayer and song. And as we would minister to them, they would minister back to us. And one of the things that we would talk to them about is they were still holding on and still leaning and depending on God. And we would clap our hands and we would pray, and everybody would get a testimony that they were continuing to depend and continue to lean on God, continue to trust God. And some of them were in rehab and were in short stay rehab, and some of them were in long-term care. But even down to the staff, amen, whether that was young or old, amen, they realized the reality of living in this world, amen, that you were going to have ups and downs and that there would be physical and spiritual and mental challenges. But we would have to learn to lean and to depend on God. And so when we would begin to talk and sing the various songs and pray, one of the songs, a favorite song that we would sing there, the favorite song that we would sing when we were in a physical building, it lets you know that the church or the body of Christ, the ecclesia, those who are called out, that we are the church, that the Spirit of God dwells in us. And so not so much the building that we worship in, amen, especially during this time of COVID, to realize that the building is not the church, but we are the church, and that the Spirit of God dwells in us. And when we dwell in him and he dwells in us, amen, we know, amen, without a shadow of a doubt, amen, that we are his children and he is our God and we can lean and depend on it. So anyway, what we would do is we would sing a song. It's called Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And again, we would sing it in the sanctuary, whatever churches we were in. And we also sing it to the different nursing homes. And it was just a special song that gave people hope, that encouraged people, that let people know that God was still with them. And we want to sing that this morning. And the first verse says, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. In the refrain would say, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms. We sing that, and I can just remember all of the faces there at the church and the various facilities. I remember Brother Robert Lee, when he used to go with us, he would be out in the crowd and he'd be high-fiving people and he would be singing to his heart's content. Amen. And it was just a blessedness, like this verse says, what a fellowship. It was a great fellowship. And we thank God for the fellowship of wherever we are. The Bible says we're two or three and gathered in his name, that he's in the midst. And so we're gathering in his name, and we're going to sing this song to the glory of God. Amen. Number 211 in your hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all alone. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, and secure from all alone. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Last verse. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all along. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Reverend Sykes will say one more time, we are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all along. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Come on, let's give God some praise. Church, if you're still leaning on the everlasting arms, that means you have a understanding, amen, that you can't make it without the Lord. And sometimes you got to lean a little harder, because sometimes the things and the situations and the storms of life will begin to blow you around and try to blow you down. But if you can lean on the everlasting arms, I'm talking about leaning on the everlasting arms, the arms that have kept you down through the years, the arms that have been there through every sickness, the arms that have been there through every challenge, the arms that have been there through all the ups and the downs and the nights and the valleys and the tears that have run down your face. I'm talking about the arms that have endured and sustained you, the arms, amen, that you can go to when nobody else is around, the arms that will wrap you in the midnight hour when your heart is raging with pain and tears are running down your eyes and your body's racked with pain. I'm talking about the everlasting arms that will cradle you and let you know that everything is going to be all right. Yes, we thank God, amen, that there's some everlasting arms. Yeah, see, your friends and your family, they're going to have to lean too. But when you realize, amen, there's some everlasting arms, the arms, amen, that are big enough to have the whole world in his hands, the arms that are big enough that there's nothing too hard. So I'm going to say it again. There's nothing. Look at somebody and say, I know that's right, preacher. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that has come our way, amen, that was too big for God. I feel all right this morning. I understand, amen, that the storm clouds come and the billows roll, but God is the anchor that holds my soul. I'm going to tell you this morning, amen, I had to lean every now and then on the everlasting arms. I had to lean and depend on God, and I found out, amen, that I can be safe and secure from all alarm. I'm going to leave that alone this morning. Somebody know what I'm talking about, amen. Somebody had to lean last night. Somebody had to lean this morning. Somebody been leaning all, come on now, year long. Have I got a witness? Somebody been leaning on the everlasting arms. Somebody realized that if it had not been for the everlasting arms, that you wouldn't been able to make it today. You wouldn't have been able to make it through the storms on last night. Somebody knows today, amen, about the everlasting arms. Amen. We give God the glory this morning, amen, that we can lean and depend. I can see the church just leaning, Lord have mercy. Sometimes the trouble comes, amen, and it with the knock you to the ground, amen, and you're just leaning on the everlasting. Sometimes the phone rings and you don't want to answer the phone. Sometimes you get a message in the mail or somebody will bring something to you and they just knock you down to your knees. But when you lean and depend on the Lord. Amen. When you lean on him, he'll help you get back up. He'll help you to weather the storm. He'll help you to be able to go on and help you to make that next step. And those that were in the nursing homes and the various churches and all over this world, they realized, amen, if it had not been for the Lord and his everlasting arms on our side, that we wouldn't be able to make it. Somebody said, I've been out of my mind, amen. Somewhere sitting in a straitjacket, amen, not knowing where I am. But I had a chance to lean on the everlasting. I said I was going to leave it alone. To lean and depend on the ever lasting arms. We give God the glory this morning for allowing us to be able, late in the midnight hour, to lean on the everlasting arm. We're going to go to our worshipers this morning. This first worshiper, last four digits, 3343. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, Lord, we lean on Jesus every morning, every day. We turn our eyes open and our feet on the floor, and we get a second chance to stay above the ground and praise his holy name. We lean on him every day. We call on him every day because we got nobody to call on but Jesus. But we
amen.
Stand up on it and do the best we can and the best we can do. And we pray to good Lord and pray that he keep staying with us and stay on our back and watch the devil to keep us off our back. We're so thankful that he let us morning, gives another second chance to stay up above this ground this morning, gives us a second chance to stay on the right track. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 1741. 1741. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus, that he is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our hope. He is our leading post. He will hold us up. In the time of trouble, he said, call on me and I will answer you. So I thank God that he has been my supporter. He has been my strong tower. He has been my helper, my rock. And I praise God this morning for his son, Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I just ask that you all continue to pray for one another. Thank you, Pastor, First Lady Kayson. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you, the heart of God. Just thank God for just being merciful. I thank God for my family and friends and loved ones this morning. And when we went in the nursing home, one thing I loved about was you could be down, but the people would encourage you.
They had such a waiting period.
They were sitting there waiting on the word. They were sitting on there, sitting waiting to be ministered to. And so, you know, I praise God because some of them came. Sometimes they were in wheelchairs. Sometimes they had to depend on somebody else to bring them or whatever condition they were in. They came to hear the word of God. They came to sing the songs. They came to worship. And nobody ever left that nursing home feeling down. You left that nursing home rejoicing, knowing that God was God. And when you saw how God worked in their lives, it cheered you up. It made you want to praise the Lord. Even if you didn't feel like it, it was an encouragement. So I praise God for that nursing home ministry because that let me know that you might be shut in, but you're not shut
Come on
up.
Now. Come
Hallelujah.
On now.
Wherever Hallelujah. You are, wherever you are, God is there. The presence of his Holy Spirit is there. And one of the songs that we would share, Hallelujah, Jesus, would be the 23rd song.
Yeah.
And it was, the Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Green pasture.
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Still waters.
He restoreth my soul.
My soul.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to God. God bless you all, and I love you.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We go to our next worshiper. Ask for digit 7971. 7971, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor, First Lady. Glory be to God this morning. This week was a good week, and God was there with us to lead us. I want to thank everybody for their encouraging words, for their prayers, because it gives us the strength to know that God is with us and he's working it out in our favor.
Yeah.
We just have to believe and trust him and live the life that he wants us to live. It's a blessing to be able to wake up this morning. We have been leaning
Amen.
On him long, a mighty, mighty long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he hasn't failed us yet. He hasn't failed us yet, and I thank God that we are surrounded well, around truly godly people that know the Lord, know how to reach him, know how to get the blessings and the healings through to accommodate his people. For that, I say thank you, God. He's an awesome God.
Yes, he is.
Whenever you call on him, I thank God that we are able to worship this morning together and know that he is our rock and our salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's the light of my life. And I thank him every day for what he has done for us and what he's still doing for us. Thank you all. You all be blessed and have a blessed week.
Amen.
Good morning, love God. Good morning, Pastor Kason, First Lady. Thank God for you all. I pray that you all continue to be blessed. Come forward every Sunday to make me stronger and make me know that there is a God.
Yeah.
When I woke up this morning, I was thanking God for another day, and I was thanking him for his blessings.
Amen.
And all of a sudden it came in my spirit, you are truly blessed. You're 83 years old, and I just got filled up. You can walk, you can talk, you can see, you can hear,
yeah.
You can do for yourself, you can drive yourself to the doctor, clean your room, clean your bathroom, keep the kitchen clean.
Hallelujah.
I am so blessed. I thank him. Although I have issues sometimes, but I just know that that is a God.
Yes, it is.
And
yes, it is.
During the time that I was praying and thanking him for all of this, he laid the words to this song in my spirit. And it says, because he lives,
yeah.
I can face tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he lives, Lord, have mercy.
Hallelujah.
Lord, have mercy. All fear is gone. All fear is gone. I have a tumor on my brain, but all fear is gone. Because
Hallelujah.
I know he's going to bless me. He's going to take me through
it tomorrow.
And if he doesn't, it's well with my soul.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living. Because
he lives.
He lives.
Lord, have mercy.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Yeah.
That's why I know, oh, who holds the future, and
mm-hmm.
life is worth the living just. Because he lives. So, Pastor, I'm going to keep on leaning on the
Amen.
Elder. I'm going to keep on living. So, everybody be blessed and be safe. To God be the glory.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We'll go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 487. 487. 4847, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Heart of God.
Good
I want to begin by saying thank you so very much for all the cards that I've received. We suddenly discovered they had been misplaced, and we found them yesterday. I don't have enough thank yous in words to say how wonderful it is to open up and see a card that has a smiley face, that has a signature that says, I love you. God is such a good God. I thank him because it seems like this is my third time around with something really crazy happening to me, and God is always there. I listen to the testimonies, and I can say, yes, I know about that. I know about that. I know about that. Today, I just want to thank God because he's God. The very first thing that I learned was, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that starts everything for all of us. Heart of God, I love you so very much. I thank God each and every day for you. Pastor, I can't have a better pastor. I don't know of one, and I've seen a lot. First Lady, you are totally amazing. Associate ministers, you're always there when we need you. Thank you all so very much. For those that are not feeling good, constantly look up and thank God, because he's right next to you. You might not see him, but if you squint a little bit, you can feel him. Thank you so much for all that you have done. I ask again that we continue to remember each other in our prayers and keep on keeping on. May you all have a wonderful weekend. We'll get a chance to talk on Thursday or whenever we just decide to call and tell one another that we love them. Have a great day. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 0025. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, First Lady. Good morning, Heart of God. Truly, God is truly amazing. And truly, I just thank God this morning for truly I'm leaning on the everlasting arms, the strong arms of God. And truly, I just thank God for his arms of protection. I thank God for being my strong tower. Thank him for my family and those that are associated and connected with this family. I just thank God for everything because God is truly, truly an almighty God. And so every day of my life, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand because I'm truly leaning. Truly, I'm leaning and depending on God because I can't make it. I can't make it a step. I can't take a step. I can't even breathe without God. And so I just thank God this morning because the presence of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And the power of the Lord is here right now. And he's here right there where you are. He's everywhere. And so I just thank God this morning because he lives, as Aunt Jewel said. I can truly testify that I can truly face tomorrow because God lives, because he has shown himself mightily, not only in my life, but in the life of my family, in the life of my pastor, in the life of my first lady, in the life of Heart of God Baptist Church. God has shown himself mightily, and we are just forever grateful to God for everything that he has done for us. So, yes, Pastor, truly, I'm leaning and I'm depending on the everlasting arms of God, our Father. God bless you and have a blessed week.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper, last four digit, 3504. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Just happy to hear, you know, everybody's voices on the line. I had to bury your uncle this week, you know, but when you in God, man, you know, this is not, that's just the beginning. You know what I mean? Sitting there, you know, looking at his body in the casket, knowing that was just a mere shell and that he is no longer in pain. And God promises that the ones that give his life, you know, that they, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I'm all right with that, finding solace in that. So just everybody, just keep on keeping on. You know, God has not brought us this far to leave us. Again, God does not bring us this far to leave us. And if he did it before, he'd do it again. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. I'm going to go to our next worshiper, last four digits, 7351. 7351, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Kason. Good morning, First Lady and the Heart of God family. I just want to say I thank everyone for saying prayers for me when I've had my latest injury, and I'm improving. I go back to the doctor this week, and I hope I'm still improving. But also I want to thank you for the card and so forth, and it's just so good to know that you got so many other people who are, you know, caring about you and letting you know that they care about you. And I thank the good Lord for bringing me this far and watching over me and watching over the Heart of God family and their families. And, oh, I can go on and on and on. But anyway, I just pray that all of us and all of you have a blessed week. Stay safe, and we'll be back again next Sunday. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony this morning. I'm going to go to our First Lady this morning. Good morning, First Lady.
Good morning, Heart of God. It is, I am so grateful to hear everyone's voice and to let me know that everyone is, God still holds you in the palm of his hands and that he keep on keeping us. And I am just overjoyed with hearing everyone and letting them know, God's letting us all know that he loves us and he cares for us and that he is going to keep us. He has kept us thus far, and all we have to do is keep standing, leaning, and depending on him. And that's what we're going to do, and that's what we're going to continue to do. And God is going to continue to bless us all. And I just thank everyone for all their prayers, texts, those who I've spoken to on the phone. I just love you all, and I'm sending out air hugs. I'm sending out kisses, all of those things, because we're going to be together soon. And we're going to have a holly good time. And we're going to give God the praise. And we're going to thank him for all that he has done for us and all that he's going to continue to do for us. And we just have to keep our eyes looking towards the hills, which cometh all our help. And all our help coming from the Lord. I love you all. You all have a blessed week. Amen.
And thank you, First Lady, for your testimony. We got one more caller, one more worshiper. Last four digits, 1508. 1508, good morning. Thank God for all of our worshipers, all of our family and friends, all of our loved ones all over this world that are continuing to pray and touch and agree with us. That we will be found doing the will of the Lord. Amen. And we thank everyone for those that are tuning on the internet, those that are tuning in through Facebook and through website and whichever way you're tuning in. We thank God for you. And it's one of the things that we're getting together right now at the building is to bring back our regular service. We're getting the internet straightened out. We're going to try the 1st of August, the praise team, see if we can get them up and running. Got to get a mixing board together to make sure it works. Amen. Had a couple of fuses blowing that. But we just want to get your prayers and your continually speaking to the Lord. Amen. Then all of these things that are going to come together. Amen. So we're excited about the praise team. We're excited about getting the mixing board together, excited about the internet getting up so that we can still have our virtual service same time, same way as we do now, but be able to extend the doors to open and be able to have those that desire to come in person. So we're working on it. Thank God for all of the support and trustees and everyone that is continuing to support us financially and spiritually, that God is opening the doors, amen, and God is preparing us, amen, and we just want to keep continuing to lean and depend on him, amen. Once we get the internet up, once we get the praise team up, and once we get all of the air conditioning and all of the things cleaned up and ready to go, then we'll be back with our church school, amen, regular time, amen, 9 o'clock, amen. So we're excited about the steps that God is making, and we're excited about the possibility real soon, amen, that we'll be able to have in-person worship, amen. So get excited about it. Talk to God about it, amen, that all these things will be in place, amen, that we'll be able to have the in-person, continue the virtual, continue the internet, continue the web, and we know that God is able and can do all things, and so we're excited about that, amen, amen. I'm going to ask that Reverend Lindsay get ready to lead us in prayer. We're going to continue a special prayer for Deacon Bryce. We were able to minister with her on yesterday, amen. She says she's feeling better, but we want to continue to keep her in prayer. Remember, all of the neighborhoods all over this world that are experiencing an increase in gun violence and discrimination and hate crimes, we see that is on the rise as the weather turns hotter, along with the continued struggle with the COVID situation. Just continue to pray for those neighborhoods, amen, that someone would reach out to them, and that someone would pray for them, that they would turn from the mental anguish, the physical anguish of the things that they're facing in their neighborhoods, amen. It's so important for the church to begin get back out and begin to minister in our communities, amen, that we would be able to help in the situations where people are going through, amen, and that we would be led by the Spirit of God. Prayerfully, we'll also be able to get back into the nursing homes coming up soon, amen, where we continue to minister. So God's got a plan, and he's working it out, and we just have to be obedient. We have to stay prayerful, amen, that he would lead, guide, and direct us, amen, in the way that we should go. And so continue to pray for those all over this world, amen, that are experiencing disasters as far as with flooding and fires and earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis and all of those weather conditions. Continue to pray for those that are in Florida that lost loved ones due to the building collapse. And you see all these things in the news, amen. And we just want to let people know that they are people and that they are hurting and that they are in need of physical, spiritual, financial blessings. And so we pray that God would continue to station angels and people around them that show of love and kindness, grace, and his mercy. Continue to bless our leaders of this country, whether it's in the White House, Congress, the Senate, local and federal officials, our police men and women, and our continued blessing on our teachers, our first responders, all of those that play a vital role in our well-being, amen, and in our country and in our cities and in our states and federal and local governments, amen. I just pray that God would continue to hold the reins and that God would continue to lead, guide, and direct us, and we will go in the way we should go, and that we would be a people that would be obedient unto him. All right, Reverend Lindsay, if you could lead us in this prayer.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Father God, we come this morning with grateful and humble hearts coming, Father, thanking you for another beautiful Sunday that you love us to see. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy that you have given us this morning. And Father God, in spite of what we feel like, look like, or what it might be like in our life, we know that you are a faithful God. We know that you are a good and a loving and kind God. And so we thank you this morning, Father God, that you have not looked on us according to our sins and our iniquities, but, oh God, you've given us another chance. And we thank you, Father God, and we come confessing, Lord Jesus, that we have sinned and come short of your glory. And Father God, we thank you for the blood of your darling son, Jesus, that was shed for our sins and our iniquities. And Father God, I pray now that you will look on our hearts, oh God. And Father God, if you see anything this morning that's not pleasing, oh God, that you would wash us and clean us from all unrighteousness. And Father God, as you cleanse us, oh God, fill us with more and more of you, Lord Jesus. More and more of your Holy Spirit. More and more of your love. More and more of your grace. Oh God, more and more of your compassion. We thank you this morning, Father God. We thank you for just being God and God alone. We thank you, Father God, because truly you've been mighty good unto us. And Father God, I pray that you will look on Pastor Kason this morning as he prepared to bring the preach word. Oh God, yes, that you will give him your revelation knowledge. Father God, that through the preach word that someone, Father God, would come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father God, that you would draw all men unto you. Father God, that your name will be glorified, Father
your
God,
name.
That your people, Father God, will be edified, and that your people, Lord Jesus, will be strengthened, delivered, and encouraged. Oh God, we thank you for the preached word this morning, Father. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, oh God, that you have given every born-again believer. And Father God, we pray, Father God, that through your Holy Spirit, oh God, that we will grow closer and closer to you, Father God. And Father God, we have a few petitions that we want to bring before you this morning. We pray, oh God, that you continue to look on the First Family, continue to strengthen Pastor Kason and First Lady Kason, continue to be their help, their strength, and their way maker. Look on their families, oh God. Continue to strengthen their children and their grandchildren, oh God. Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will build them up where they're torn down.
Yes,
Father
Lord.
God, I pray in your name, Lord Jesus, that you will look on each and every member of the heart of God. Father God, that you will answer every prayer this morning. You know what they stand in the need of Jesus.
Hello.
So I pray that you will answer according to your riches in glory. Give them the strength that they need through you, Father God. And then, Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to look on those that have ongoing sickness, oh God. Father God, I pray that you would walk through the nursing homes, through the hospitals, and through health care facilities everywhere. Oh God, for those that are convalescing at home, Jesus, I pray that you would touch them this morning. Look on Dick and Bryce in a special manner.
Yes,
be with her family, oh God. I pray for your hand of healing and strength that you continue to touch her, oh God. Father God, I pray for Sister Jewel and this week, oh God.
Yeah,
Father
yeah.
God, as she go forth to doctors, oh God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you continue to give her your healing virtue, oh God. Continue to keep her mind in perfect peace, oh God. Father God, I pray that you will continue to look on Sister Griffin, oh God. Father God, that you will continue to refresh and restore her kidneys and her blood circulation, oh God. Father God, I pray for Trustee Randolph, oh God, that you will be a help and a strength unto her, oh God, that you be a healer unto her. Look on her as a caretaker. And then, Father God, we thank you for how you heal Mama Gwen and allow her to come back home. Thank you for your hand of healing, oh God. Continue to be her strength and her way maker. We pray for Papa Richardson that you continue to strengthen him, oh God. Continue to keep him strong in you, Lord Jesus. And then, Father God, we pray for Sister Helen Lee, oh God, as you go to the doctor this week, Father God. We pray that you will continue to touch her eyes, oh God. Continue to be her healer and her way maker, oh God. And Father God, not only we just pray for our church members, but we pray for all those that are sick and afflicted this week, oh God. Those that are in hospitals and homes and nursing homes. Oh God, we We pray that you would touch, oh God, cancer patients, oh God.
Yeah.
Father God, kidney patients, high blood pressure, sugar, oh God. Father God, mental sickness, oh God. Cancer everywhere, oh God. Father God, whatever the disease is, Lord Jesus, we know that you are the great physician. And then, oh God, we not only pray for physical illness and sickness, oh God, but we pray for those that are sick in spirit, oh God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will be the answer to those that are depressed and are oppressed, those that need a financial blessing, oh God.
Hello.
Those that need jobs and those that need mortgage paid, oh God. Those that need food on their table, oh God. Those, Father God, that just need a little peace of mind, Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Those that have cried all night long, Lord Jesus.
Hello.
And didn't know which way to turn and where to go, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I pray that you touch them this morning, Father. Touch them through your preached word, oh God. Let them know, Jesus, that you're the answer to every prayer.
Yeah,
oh God.
Yeah.
Let them know, Lord Jesus, that you're more than enough, Father God, that you are the all-sufficient Savior, Lord Jesus. Oh God, somebody, Lord Jesus, moan and groan because of death, oh God, because of unfair killing and shooting all through the land, Lord Jesus. Let them know that there is a hope, oh God. Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will move on men's hearts, oh God. Help them to seek your face and your righteousness, oh God. Guns are not the answer, oh God.
Hello.
But you're the answer to every prayer, oh God. Father God, we need you more than ever before, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we pray, Father, that you will look on our sin-sick land, oh God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Be our strength, oh God. Help us to call on your name, Lord Jesus, in the time of need. And then, Father God, I pray for government leaders and officials everywhere, oh God, that you will touch, that you will heal, that you will be the peacemaker. And then, oh God, I pray for those that are in foreign soil and in other countries, oh God, earthquakes and floods and hurricanes, oh God, fires on every end, Father. Sometimes man don't know which way to turn and what to do. But one thing we know for certain, oh God, that you are a faithful God and you faileth not, Lord Jesus. This is your world, hallelujah, Jesus.
Yeah.
You are in charge of it, oh God. So, Father God, we go lay it this morning at the feet of your cross this morning, Lord Jesus.
Yeah,
and we're going to thank you, hallelujah, God. We're going to praise you, hallelujah, God. We're going to bless you this morning, hallelujah, God. Because we know that you are able, Lord Jesus, that you can heal, that you can deliver, that you can save, oh God. We know, Lord Jesus, that you can heal this land, oh God, regardless of what disaster come, oh God. You're in the midst, Jesus. Help us to look up, Father God, and see you speaking to us, oh Lord. Oh God, we ask for your mercy, Lord. We ask for your grace, Father. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for everything that you've done. We thank you for that you're doing and that you will continue to do. Pray, Father God, that your name would get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Oh God, we ask your mercy, Father, upon your churches, oh God. Help us as we go out and be witnesses unto you.
Yeah,
give us that Holy Ghost boldness that we need, oh God, that men will see the light in us, Lord Jesus. Help us not to faint and become weary, but help us to hold on to your unchanging hand. And Father God, we'll be so careful, Lord Jesus, to give your name the glory,
the
honor, and the praise. And Father God, I pray that through your preached word today, Father, that somebody will know without a shadow of doubt that you are our mighty God and you can do anything except fail. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you this morning for these and all blessings. In your darling son Jesus' name, I pray, dear Heavenly Father. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank Heaven Lindsay for that fervent prayer. Amen. That effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And thank God for a prayer, a praying church. Amen. A church that doesn't mind praying, doesn't mind going to the Lord in prayer. Amen. And thank God as we go to the Lord in prayer that he is continuing to answer our prayers. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to the Word of God today, And it comes to us in the Old Testament book of Psalm. The Old Testament book of Psalm. And we want to look at Psalm 90. And we want to look at Psalm 91. These Psalms are in the fourth division of the book of Psalms. That book of Psalms divided in five divisions, but this one's in the fourth division. It contains Psalm 90 through Psalm 106, I believe it is, smallest division. But the Psalm 90 is called the prayer of Moses, the man of God, and it is believed that this was the only psalm, the book of psalm, that was attributed to Moses, amen. And it was a prayer, if you will, of Moses to God for the people of God that had been delivered out of the land of Egypt in bondage, and that they were working their way to the promised land, the land that God had promised them. But as they journeyed, they became weary in their faith, and they did not go into the promised land in an expedient time. And because of their disbelief in God, a lack of faithfulness, that God allowed them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until those who were lacking in faith, amen, fell from the scene. The Bible says their carcasses fell in the wilderness, amen. And the younger generation was able to go and to experience the promised land. And so this prayer of Moses in Psalm 90, amen, talks about, amen, the power of God and the holiness of God and infinite wisdom of God, and how man should be humble in the presence of who God is, in preparation for those going into the promised land, of recalling what God did and how God is and strength and his power. And then to contrast that in Psalm 91 of the blessings of being faithful to God, and the blessings of trusting in God, the contrast between the prayer of Moses and the Psalm 90, and the contrast in Psalm 91 of those who remain faithful and those who love God. And so it's a kind of a prayer of remembrance to those that would be going in, and in Psalm 91, a prayer of the blessings of those that are obedient to God and have faith in him. And both of them talk about, when they're opening verses, about dwelling. And in other words, being in the presence of God, being under the shadow of God, being in the house of God, and being in the secret place of God. And when you're in God's dwelling, or in God's secret place, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, you will be sustained by God. And so when they were in the wilderness, those that continued to keep the faith in God, they continued to dwell in the presence, in the shelter of the Most High God. And because of that, even in difficult days and difficult times, they were able to be sustained. And in verse 91, chapter 91, it talks about those that love God, those that are faithful to him, that they're sustained. So but the key is in those first verses of those two psalms. I'll read the first couple of verses of Psalm 90. And then I'll go over to the first couple of verses of Psalm 91, and we'll see what thus said the Lord. So we'll start with Psalm 90 and verse 1. Psalm 90 and verse 1. It says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, for ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And then if you go to Psalm 91, and beginning at verse 1, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. And in verse 3, it says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall thy shield shall be thy shield. And so for a few moments this morning, we want to speak from the subject, amen, the secret place of the Most High God. The secret place of the Most High God. Let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to stand and to declare your word. Father, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins, O God, that you will be faithful, just forgive me, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. O God, that I may be a pure vessel used by you. O God, that the sinners would be converted, the saints would be edified, but most of all, God, you would receive honor and glory to your name. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. The Book of Psalms, as we stated earlier, was written by several writers, and the 90th Psalm was, I believe, the only psalm that was penned by Moses, and the Book of Psalms has five divisions. And in this division, these first two of Division 4, Psalm 90 and Psalm 91 shows the contrast of those who are faithful and those who are being blessed by their faithfulness to God. And in Psalm 90, it talks about in verse 1 that the Lord has been our dwelling place in all generations. In other words, Moses in his prayer was rehearsing to the people of God and to himself and speaking to God in prayer about how God, down through the generations, from the youngest to the oldest, has been their dwelling. In other words, that has been their place of refuge, that has been their place of safety, that God has been their place of sustenance, that God has been everything that they needed. And the thing that's important about this verse, first verse, is that in today's society, we need to share with every generation, amen, the importance, amen, of having the Lord, amen, as your dwelling place. Having the Lord as your source of your supply. Having the Lord as the one that protects and keeps you. Having the Lord as the one that will sustain you through every situation and circumstance. And I believe, my brothers and sisters, that too many times, amen, generations that are going, we call generations now by letters in the alphabet, whether it's from the baby boomers to Generation X to Generation Y and Generation Z and so forth and so on, that it seems like the further they get away from the A or the Alpha generation, amen, the first generation, amen, that each generation is learning less and less about God's dwelling place, that the place where you can find refuge, the place where you can find strength, the place where you can feel for all your needs being fulfilled. And so what is happening is that people are leaving the secret place of God, the dwelling place of God, generation after generation, and they're turning to more of the things of the world and the things of man. And as you and I have come to know, because we know about the secret place of the Most High God, and that the things of the world, amen, cannot sustain us. The things of the world cannot be our refuge. The things of the world cannot provide our needs. But all of our needs and all of our sustenance and all of our refuge and all of our provisions, amen, can only be provided by God. That's why it's important, amen, for all of us, amen, to be able to understand the secret place of the Most High God and be able to explain that and share that with those that we come in contact with. Because, amen, it's important that every individual, amen, has their own personal relationship with God. In other words, the dwelling place of God may be huge and all-encompassing, but there is a secret place that has your name on it, that has my name on it in God. Amen. In other words, that's your individual dwelling place with God. In other words, mama's dwelling place, amen, is not big enough, amen, for me to be in. Daddy's dwelling place, amen, is not big enough for me to be in. In other words, I've got to have a relationship with God, amen, and develop that relationship where I have my own personal relationship or dwelling with God. And so what's happening in society today is that people are trying to live off grandmama and them. Oh, my grandmama goes to church. Oh, my granddaddy goes to church. Or my mama or my daddy or my sister goes to church. Or my that's my mom's favorite prayer. That's my dad's favorite song. And in other words, they're trying, amen, to dwell, amen, in somebody else's secret place. But we have to understand, amen, that every tub, the old deacon used to say, has to sit on its own bottom. In other words, we have to teach and train our children, amen, that they can't get to a heaven, amen, by us, amen, that they have to have their own faith, their own confession, their own possession of God for themselves. And so it's important for them to understand, amen, that there is a place in God for them, amen, and they have to nurture, they have to forge, they have to develop this relationship with God where they can say, this is the secret place for me in the Most High God. This is my dwelling place. That this is where God speaks directly to me. This is where God provides me salvation. This is where God provides me refuge. This is where God gives me substance. This is where God restores my soul. This is where God comforts me. This is where God ministers to me in his secret place of the Most High God. There's not enough room for anybody else, but it's me and God and my relationship. And when you begin to understand, amen, that there's a secret place in God for you individually, amen, you will become so excited about it. You'll become so thrilled about it that you would want to share it with somebody else and say, hey, you've got to develop a personal relationship with God. You've got to get into the secret place of God for you, amen, and watch God begin to develop. Watch God begin to mold and shape and bring you, amen, the fruit, amen, of his Holy Spirit. When you begin to understand that on an individual basis, amen, what will happen is you'll see a change in your life. The things that you used to do and depend on in the world, you'll see how far they come short of the things of God. You'll see how unreliable they are. You'll begin to start turning away from those things and start turning toward the God that has a secret place just for you. And so you say, well, why do you contrast these two books, Brother Preacher? Because it lets us know, amen, that the life that we live in this world, amen, is not always going to be easy. There's going to be some things that aren't fair. There's going to be some ups. There's going to be some downs. There's going to be some situations you don't like. There's going to be some situations, amen, that you rather not deal with, amen. But the contrast is, amen, that in spite of the things that you don't like, in spite of the things you'd rather not deal with, despite of the ups and the downs, amen, we have the blessings to dwell with the God that's greater than any situation or circumstance. And so verse 90 allows Moses to pray, amen, and acknowledge the sins, amen, of the people of God. And my brothers and sisters, the world that we live in today does not do that quite enough. We always want God to bless. We always want God to deliver. We always want God to make a way out of no. We always want God to perform a miracle in our lives. And there's nothing wrong with asking that from God, amen. But when you understand, amen, that God, amen, wants, amen, us to have a relationship with him where we keep his commandments, where we show love toward him, that we don't keep making the same mistakes over and over again, that we don't keep falling down and bumping our heads, that God wants us, amen, to live a holy life, a life that's pleasing in his sight. And so in order for us to get to that place, we have to talk about the things that we've done, amen, that we bumped our heads, where we did not obey God's commandments, when we did not do right, when we were not obedient. And it seems like in this world that we live in, amen, nobody wants to hear what the record says, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, nobody wants to hear, amen, that they missed the mark. Nobody wants to hear, amen, that there's consequences for sin. Nobody wants to hear that we have to be accountable to a holy and a righteous God. Nobody wants to hear, amen, that in order for us to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, we have to confess our sins. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The book of Romans writer said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, in order for us to get into that secret place of dwelling with God, we have to confess our sins and say, God, I've come short of your glory, and my way, amen, is the wrong way, and God, your way is the right way. And once you begin to get in tune with God, amen, you can begin to start experiencing the blessings of Psalm 91. But first you have to, amen, deal and acknowledge, amen, with the shortcomings in Psalm 90. Let's explore this a little bit more. If you look at Psalm 90, amen, and the psalm prayer of Moses, he continues in Psalm 90, verse 3, he says, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years is in thy sight is but as yesterday when it past and as a watch in the night. In other words, God is not in our time frame, and our ways are not God's ways, and our thoughts are not God's thoughts. And, one day is like 1,000 years with God. And in other words, when we're thinking about doing this or thinking about this, God has already considered it. And so in verse 5, he says, thou carriest them away as with a flood, that they are sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. And Moses acknowledging, amen, because of the sin of God's people, that they were dropping, they were falling, they were experiencing hardship. And in verse 6 it says, in the morning it flourishes and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down with and withereth, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. And in other words, Moses is acknowledging the failure, the lack of faith of the people of God, that he had brought them out of bondage, that he had allowed them to cross the Red Sea, and he allowed them to be delivered, but yet they still were unfaithful, and they turned to things other than God. And verse 80 says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And in other words, Moses is praying and he's acknowledging the sins of the people, and he said that they have iniquities and they have secret sins, and in order for us to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, we have to be examined, and God has to examine the secret sins, and God has to examine the iniquities of that people have committed. And again, generation after generation, they don't want to hear about the stuff that we did wrong. We want to behave like we've been right, and the old saying is saved all our lives, amen. But the reality is, amen, we need to confess on a daily basis of the things of word, thought, and deed, the things that we didn't do or the things that we did, amen, that weren't pleasing in the sight of God. And that's not a nice subject, amen. That's not a rosy subject, amen. But if you want to experience the blessing in the secret place of the Most High God, amen, we have to acknowledge these things. We have to let God know, amen, that we no longer want to live this way, and we no longer want to do these things, but we want to be cleansed and we want to be restored to righteousness. And so in verse 8, Moses is acknowledging in his prayer the iniquities and the sins, amen, of the people. And in verse 9, it goes on to talk about for our days are passed away in the wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. And in verse 10, it talks about the terms that God, because people used to live longer, God allows, amen, the longer terms to get shorter. And in verse 10, it says the days of our lives are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 40 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. And in other words, God has through Moses let us know, amen, that the average lifespan, amen, is going to be 70 years, amen. But if God gives you strength, amen, you'll be able to get to 80 years, amen. And I don't know about you, amen, but I've seen some saints in my life, amen, that not only went past 70 years, amen, but the Lord has blessed them to get 80 years. And I've seen some saints, amen. One of them was, amen, my grandmother on my daddy's side, amen. She got to move on to the 99 years. Come on now. And I don't know about you. You might be thinking you're getting older, amen. But if God, come on now, gives you the strength, amen, not only will you be able to make it to 70, come on somebody, but you'll also be able to make it to 80. Come on now. And if you're really, amen, strengthened by God, amen, you'll be able to get to 99. Amen. I'm talking about the strength and the power of God for those who walk upright, and those who know their place in the secret place of the Most High God. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. If you're 70 years old, 70 or getting close to 70, you might as well clap your hands, amen, and say, thank you, Lord, amen. If you got to the 70, which is 70, you need to say, thank you, Lord. If you got to the 60, which is 60, you need to say, thank you, God. If you got to the 70, amen, 60 and 10 and got to the 40, come on, you need to give God some praise. I know there's some folk out there clapping your hand, amen, and you didn't get there by yourself, amen. It was the Lord that blessed you for that 40. It was the Lord that blessed you for that 70. It was the Lord that blessed you for that 60. It's the Lord that whatever your age is, amen, that allowed you. It was his strength. It was his power. It was his might. I'm going to leave that alone. Amen. They got you where you are. So you need to say glory, thank you. And every birthday that you have, you need to give God the glory, because it is only because you know the secret place of the Most High God that he has kept you. He has blessed you. He has allowed you to stay in your right mind. He allowed you to continue, amen, to go on in his name. So let us continue on. Amen. God set that thing right. Amen. Amen. But when God gives you the strength, whatever age, whatever years he gives you, amen, it's because of his strength. But he said there's going to be some labor and there's going to be some sorrow in those years. Amen. But as long as he gives you some strength, you'll be able to endure, amen, the labor and the sorrow. And in verse 11, he says, we knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. In verse 12, He goes on to say, God, now that we've acknowledged these things, and Lord have mercy, we got the bad part out of the way. Amen. He acknowledged these things. And so in verse 12, he says, so teach us to number our days. In other words, help us to be careful, God, to make sure we're doing the things that are pleasing in your sight. Help us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Help us to act wise, God. It's a time for putting away childish and foolish things. It's a time to act godly. It's a time to turn away from the things of the world. God, help us to number our days. Help us to be careful, God. Help us to walk in wisdom, God. Help us to not be unfaithful like we were at the beginning of this journey. Help us, God, to appreciate every day that you've given us. Help us to continue to love you and love our neighbor. Help us, God, to be the people that you have called us to be. And in verse 13, he says, return, O Lord. In other words, he's saying, God, when is this trouble going to end? And he says, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servant. In other words, God, we've turned from our wicked ways. God, we've turned from the things that are ungodly. We turn from our unfaithfulness. And so, God, when are you going to allow this burden? When are you going to allow this journey in the wilderness to end? And so they recognize the errors of their way. They turn to God and say, God, help us to number our days. Help us to walk in wisdom. God, don't allow this burden to last on us always. And I don't know about you, amen, but there's been times, amen, where we didn't do right, and times in my life where I wasn't obedient to God, and God allowed the consequences to come on, amen. And you say, God, how long? And when you repent, amen, and you turn to God, and God relents, amen, and allows the blessings to come forward. There's a new perspective after you've learned the lessons, after you've been through the tough times, the challenges, and you've got a new perspective. And then in verse 14, he says, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. In other words, when you've pleaded to the mercy of God, when you've acted in a way, amen, that wasn't pleasing in the sight of God, and you suffered the consequences, and you realize the errors of your way, and you begin to start numbering your days and walking carefully and walking in the wisdom of God, and saying, God, have mercy upon me. And when Moses prayed for mercy, he says that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. In other words, we want to get back to the place, God, where our fellowship and our relationship was the way you would have it, when we were in the secret place of you, God, the restoration, the renewing, the refreshing, the fellowship that we lost when we left out of the secret place. But God, when we get back into our secret place, God, this is the place that we desire. This is the place that we need. This is the place that is going to keep us in all our days. It goes on in verse 15. It says, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. And in other words, God, we need your mercy to deliver us from the evil, and deliver us from the years where there was trouble on every hand, and deliver us when we acted in the way of the world instead of acting in the ways of God. And Moses is pouring out his spirit unto God. And verse 16, he says, let the work appear unto thy servant and the glory unto their children. In other words, God, help us to realize the errors of our ways, and begin to start talking to the generations that are coming behind us, and the generation of the children, and start telling them about the God Almighty, the secret place of the Most High God. And verse 17, he says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. In other words, God, we want to be about your business. God, we want to teach others about your goodness. God, we want to turn from our wicked ways. And God, because we've done things that were wrong in your sight, we've experienced this evil. And generation after generations who've turned from the wicked ways. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God said, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. And so Moses is asking in this prayer, God, forgive us of our sin. Continue to show us grace and mercy that we may be about our Father's business, that we may be about the work of our Lord and Savior, that we may be about the God that delivered us out of bondage of Egypt, that we would be about the God that brought us over the Jordan, the Red Sea on dry land, God that kept us even though we walked in the wilderness for 40 days, for 40 years, that God didn't allow our shoes to wear out and we were able to go into the promised land. I'm talking about those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, those that have turned from their wicked ways and said, God, your way is the right way, and I'm going to trust you like you've been trustworthy and faithful all through these years. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you know about the secret place of the Most High God, you'll understand, amen, that God is a loving God, that God is a gracious God, that God is a merciful God, that God won't forever hold things against you, but he'll throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. He'll have mercy upon you. He'll restore and renew you, but you got to remain in the secret place of the Most High God. As I get ready to go to my seat, when we look at verse 1 of chapter 91, he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid by the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. See the benefits of being in the secret place of the Most High God. You don't have to worry about the pestilence. You don't have to worry about the arrows and the darkness and the wickedness, because God has you in his secret place. See, those folks that trusted God during the time where they were together and the other folks didn't trust God, God kept them in the secret place until they fell by the wayside and they realized, amen, that being in the secret place of the Most High God, that God would keep them, that God would make a way for them, that God would be their fortress, that God would be their refuge, that God would be the one that would keep them away from pestilence, that God would hide them under the shadow of his wings, that God would be their buckler to hold it all together. That those that fall beside the wayside, 10,000, and those that fall on the other side, amen, thousands, amen, it won't affect you because you're under the secret place of the Most High God. And heart of God, I'm glad today, amen, that while hundreds of thousands and millions, amen, were sick from this pestilence, hallelujah, God has kept us. God has kept our families. God has kept our loved ones. God has kept our children. God has delivered us, amen, from these things that thousands and ten thousands have fallen upon, because we remain in the secret place. Somebody say, oh, hallelujah, of the Most High God. And in verse 8 it says, only thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. In verse 9 it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. Somebody ought to say hallelujah neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, God. Come on, lift your hands up and give him praise. Amen. If the plague hasn't come near you, if the plague hasn't befallen you, if the plague hasn't come into your dwelling place, he says, for the angels shall give charge over thee. Somebody say, thank God for the angels that kept my family. Thank God for the angels that watched over my house. Thank God for the angels that watched over my church. Thank God that watched over my family. Thank God for the angels that kept my going out and my coming in. Thank God for the angels that allowed me to go down the highway and get back up. Thank God the angel that continue to provide me water. Thank God for the angels of God that continue to provide me shelter. Thank God that I still have food. Thank God that I still have clothes. Thank God that I still in my right mind, because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Thank God that he kept me spiritually, and whatever I needed, a spiritual boots, because I was in the shelter in the secret place of the Most High God. I could tell the minute he began to minister, the time where he would pull out the trouble and input the peace, the time where he would give me what I needed in the midnight hour, the time that he would wipe away my tears, the time when he would rock me in his everlasting arms, because we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. I'm going to finish up and read these last five verses. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon lions and adders. The young lion and the dragon shall not trample, shall trample under feet. In these last three verses, I want you to read them and study on them and meditate on them as you're in the secret place of the Most High God. 14, 15, 16. He says, because he has love upon me. In other words, the psalmist is rehearsing what God is saying to us. Psalm 90, what Moses was saying to God. Psalm 91, 14, 15, and 16 is what God is saying to us. And Psalm 91, because he has set his love upon me, love God, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Something about the name of God. And when you know the name of God in the secret place of the Most High God, in verse 15, look at this now, underline it, write it some circles around it. 14, 15, and 16 said, he shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Look at what God is saying, because you loved him in verse 14. This is because you loved him and you have known his God. You have known God and you've been in his secret place of the Most High God. He says, I know who you are because you come to the secret place of the Most High God. And in verse 15, he said, because you come to the secret place of the Most God and you show your love for me and you know my name. You ain't talking about all the names out in the street and this, that, and the other, but you know my name and you've shown love for me. This is what God will do for you. He said, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And Lord, those of you who have experienced the 70 and the 80, look what God has been true to his word. In verse 16, he says, with long life. Come on now. Will I satisfy him and show him what? My salvation. With long life. I'm talking about everlasting life. Amen. This physical life is going to pass away, but with long life, I'm talking about everlasting life, and show him my salvation. This is what's offered by God in the secret place. Amen. In the secret place of the Most High God. Long life and salvation. Long life and salvation. And while you yet walk this earth, verse 15 says, I will answer him, I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver and honor him. But you got to know him for yourself. You got to know the secret place of the Most High God. Amen. I didn't mean to keep you that long, but I want you to get excited about this Psalm 91, verses 14, 15, and 16. Amen. Go back and get a sobering wake-up call in Psalm 90. But God will bless you with Psalm 91 in that last three verses. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Amen. Amen. The secret place of the Most High God. Let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for in the time of trouble because we know our secret place of the Most High God in our dwelling. Because we know you as Lord and Savior of our lives. And because we know, God, that when we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy down through the years. God, we thank you for the 80. We thank you for the 80 and 10. We thank you for the 80. We thank you, God, for those who are continuing, God, to experience long life and wisdom and knowledge and God, the salvation that you provided at whatever age we may be, God, is because of your grace and your mercy. And so, God, continue to bless us that we will be able to get and to be able to stow away and be able to experience the secret place of the Most High God. God, help us to share with generation after generation after generation, amen, that they too can experience this long life and this wisdom and salvation that you offer. God, help us to continue to turn away from the things that are not pleasing in your sight and continue to seek your face, God, and seek your will, oh God, that we will be a people that show and know your name and love you the way you have loved us. And now, may your love, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord sing together. Amen. 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 Do yourself a favor. Call your neighbor. Let them tell them to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, and they'll be able to experience long life and salvation. God bless you. May heaven ever smile upon you. We'll talk to you all next week. God bless.